Hello and welcome to our study. We continue in the book of Jude. The subject here is contending for the faith. We're in lesson number 4. First, we're going to just a little bit of review so we can get the context here. In chapter 1, verse number 1 through 4, we read, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now there's two words I want to point out to you. One is the word love. He said in verse 2, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Jude's little letter is a love letter, as we mentioned in a previous session. The other word I want to point out to you is the word but. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, but it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now what I want to point out about that word but is it's not there. It just isn't there. Now we said in a previous program the word but is used to introduce something contrasting with what has already been mentioned. The word but occurs 3,994 times in the Bible and is always used to introduce something contrasting with what had just been mentioned. But there's no but in Jude chapter 1 and verse number 3. And the reason for that is the word common salvation. That word common, the Greek is koinos. In Mark chapter 7 verse 2, it has been translated defiled. In Romans 14 verse 14, it is translated unclean 3 times. In Hebrews 10 and verse 28, it is translated unholy. And so, he didn't change his mind here. He said, beloved, I gave all diligence to write unto you, and it was needful that I write unto you about this defiled, unclean, unholy plan of salvation that is infiltrating into the churches. Now we'll go on with verse number 5, and he said, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Now verse 5 begins, he's going to talk about 3 groups of apostates, and he's going to talk about 3 individual apostates. And that is not by chance. That is what we should be doing today. He talked about the people out of the land of Egypt, verse 5. He talked about the angels which kept not their first estate in verse 6. He talked about Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in verse number 7. 3 groups. Then he talked about 3 individuals, those that had gone the way of Cain, verse 11, those that followed the error of Balaam, verse 11, and those that went after the gainsaying of Korah, also in verse number 11. Now when we look at these people, Jude said, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Now we're told back in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 38 about a mixed multitude that went up with them. And we're also told when Nehemiah had his revival in Nehemiah 13 and verse number 3, it says it came to pass when they heard the law that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. The next thing we'll look at is the little phrase, put you in remembrance. In Jude chapter 1 verse 5, he said, therefore watch and remember. In verse number 17, he said, but beloved, remember. Over 200 times there's a reference concerning somebody remembering something in the Bible. The pathway to apostasy is when we forget to remember. Judges 8 and 34 says, the children of Israel remembered not. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 9, he said, watch therefore and remember. Verse 6 says, "And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day." Now it says the angels that left not, that kept not their first estate. What happened to them? Very plain. They are going to face the judgment of God. The mixed multitude that came out of Israel, those that claimed to be followers of God and were not, they face the judgment of God. The angels of God face the judgment of God. And the Gentiles, in verse number 7 and 8, we've seen those Sodomites, they also face the judgment of God. Verse 7, it says, "Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." Now, it says here, notice, giving themselves over. Somebody says they're born that way, they can't help it. No, they're giving themselves over. You can believe what people want to say, you can believe what God says. I don't have a problem there. There's no contest. And it says they go after strange flesh, and they are an example suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Now, I think at this point we need to go back to Jude 1 and verse number 2, where it talks about mercy. Mercy is giving somebody something they don't deserve. And love, the Bible says we're to love like Jesus loved. If we're going to love like he loved, we're going to hate the sin, but we're going to love the sinners. Now, verse number 8 says, "Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominions, and speak evil of dignities." Now, it says likewise. It's important to understand that. Likewise is used to introduce a similar point. He's talking about three groups. He's talking about three individuals. And he says likewise also these filthy dreamers. Now, it's also important to understand the word filthy. If you notice in your Bible that word is in italics, that means that it's not in the original. What they did was they put the word in there to help us understand it better. And really what we should have done is just left it out, because that kind of makes us think it's talking about the Sodomites. But it's not. In particular, it's talking about all the six of these, the three groups and the three individuals. It says they are dreamers, they defile the flesh, they despise dominions, and they speak evil of dignities. So the dreamers, what is a dream? It's an unrealistic or self-deluding fantasy occurring when you are asleep. That's what these groups were spiritually. And then dominions, that's authorities. They despise authorities. And dignities are those that have the state or quality of being worthy of honor or respect. These groups didn't do that, neither the individuals. Now verse 9, interesting verse here, says, "Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, dare not bring a railing accusation against him, but said, the Lord rebuke thee." Now this is an interesting verse, and there's been a lot of different things written about what it really means. There's nothing in the Bible that talks about Michael contending with the devil and disputing about the body of Moses. It's not in the Bible. That doesn't mean to say it didn't happen. It did happen, because God's saying it's happening here. But what I'd like to pull out of this verse is the word contending and disputed. And when he was contending and when he was disputing about the body of Moses with the devil, the Bible says he didn't bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. And so what we need to do is what Jesus did when he gave us that example in Matthew chapter 4, when he was tempted of the devil. Three times he said, it is written, it is written, it is written. You'll never win an argument with the devil. He's smarter than all of us put together. But he's not smarter than the Word of God, and he hates the Word of God. And as Jesus simply quoted Scripture, the devil hightailed it out of there. Now, what we need to understand is we need to memorize the Scripture, so we have a particular Scripture that we need. If you look at Matthew 4 and 4:7 and 4:10, he is giving Scripture, defeating the devil with what he was being tempted about. Very important that we memorize Scripture so we have that weapon when we need it. And now in verse 10 we read, "But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally, as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves." Now we're getting to a portion of scripture here that's talking about a lot of speaking. It says, "These speak evil of those things which they know not." In Jude 1 and 4 it says certain men are denying something. In verse 8, these dreamers are speaking evil. In verse number 10, these speak evil. In verse number 15, they have these hard speeches which they have spoken. And then murmurers and complainers and great swelling words in verse number 16. And so what the Bible says here is that they are talking about that which they know naturally. And it's talking about the difference between the natural man, which receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And so these people are busy talking about things they don't know anything about. They shouldn't enter into the spiritual realm until they're born again. Well, we read in verse 11, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor." So now we have three individuals here, and the first one is Cain, the second one is Balaam, and the third one is Kor. Now, we deal first of all with the method. It says they went in the way of Cain, the method of how he was doing things. He's the first apostate mentioned as an individual in the Bible. He was very religious, but like in Jude's day, he was trying to alter God's plan of salvation. You remember, he brought a sacrifice and he went to great work to bring that sacrifice, but the Lord did not receive it because there was no blood in the sacrifice. You see, we do it God's way or we don't do it at all. Not only that, we find that he refused to repent. That's the same thing that's going on today, the way of Cain. Then also, because he refused to repent, it's like the attitude of the man who says, "Don't confuse me with Scripture. I already know what I believe." Yeah, a lot of that going on today. The second thing is money. The method, Cain, money, the error of Balaam, he said, it says here in verse 11, he did it for reward. And then we have the mouth, which is the way of Kor. He was the one that roused up a lot of people and had an uprising against Moses, and he paid dearly for that one too. Verse 11, "These are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots." Now the thing we want to notice about this verse is that they are in your feast and they feast with you. These are, first of all, this happens because wolves in sheep's clothing infiltrate amongst what used to be scripturally fundamental people. The second thing that happened after that was back here in the late 50s and early 60s, there was a major focus by the fundamentalists on numbers. We got to get numbers, numbers. We got to baptize so many a year. Everything was focusing on numbers. Well, then we got a book come out that says repentance is the enemy of soul winning. You can't get the numbers if you tell people they have to repent. So just tell them they have to believe. Well, the devil believes and trembles, so I guess he could join your church too. No, the thing that happened was the wolves infiltrated the focus on the numbers, dumped the doctrine of repentance because that'll hinder you getting the numbers, and then unsaved church members were brought into the church. Now, they came in with an emotional experience, but people do that in cults. People do that in all kinds of religious situations. The Bible says that when we're saved, the Holy Spirit speaks to our spirit, and then our spirit, in turn, will dictate to our mind, our will, and our emotions as to what we're going to do next. So we filled our churches with members who are unsaved, and they have a worldly appetite. And so, you know, the Bible says that sheep eat good stuff. Goats will just about eat anything. So we've got a lot of fundamental independent Baptist goats these days. And the result of all of that? Well, we tear the name Baptist off the front of the church. We bring in the rock music, bring in the drums, paint the walls black, get some stupid lights flashing around, and call it church. Not a church. It's worse than a zoo. A zoo is a good thing. I'm sorry to the animals in the zoo I even said that. Verse 13 talks about raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Well, raging waves of the sea. What's that do? It causes shipwreck, and we got a lot of shipwrecks going on today. Foaming out their own shame. The only other reference to that is in Mark 9, where a demon-possessed person was foaming at the mouth. And then we have these wandering stars. They're actually falling stars. They're bright, they're short-lived, and they're useless. But once again, we see here in verse number 13, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever, the Bible says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Then verse 14 and 15, it says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Well, we could spend quite a bit of time in that portion of Scripture, but I want to focus once again on the fact that it says he's coming to execute judgment on all, and to convince all that are ungodly of all their ungodly deeds and all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. There is a judgment day coming. He goes on to say these are murmurers, complainers, walking in their own lusts, and their own mouths speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in advantage, persons in admiration because of advantage. And so, once again, it says they are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts or desires, their mouths speaking great swelling words. We see that in no uncertain terms, what we need to get at from this book of Jude is he loves people. And if you love people, you're going to tell them the truth. Though the truth isn't always pleasant. Sometimes the truth really hurts. But we're to preach the truth in love. Now, in verse number 17, he says, but beloved, and this is why I've been hurrying through this first part, because quite frankly, I don't like it. I'm not going to skirt around things I don't like, or I wouldn't be talking about it at all. But I like the last part of this portion of Scripture better. Verse 17 says, but beloved. Now, this is something contrasting with what we've just heard. And what he's going to do here is give us the formula for survival in the day of apostasy. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be sure to be with us for our next series in this little book, Contending for the Faith.